Now, today's message will be rather simple. It might even be short. We'll see. It has a profound meaning and purpose and impact in your life and in your Christian walk. Today, the subject is the will of God. Amen. How many of you would like to know the will of God in your lives? Amen. I see a couple hands. How many of you would like to know the will of God in your lives? Okay. And if you don't want to know the will of God in your lives, because not every hand went up, do you want to know the will of God for some situation in your life? Amen. Now, since most of you, unfortunately not all, want to know the will of God in your life, how many of you are willing to do the will of God? Amen. How many of you are willing to walk in the will of God? How many of you know that's not easy? It's not easy. Anybody that says it's easy, then they're faking. Or they've been taught some false teachings. Now, most Christians, while I'm glad that we all raised our hands by the final request, but most Christians struggle with this issue. I said most Christians, most folks who claim Jesus as their Lord and Savior struggle with knowing the will of God. Okay? Too many times we fake it until we make it. And yet we serve a true living God, and there's no reason that we need to roll like that. Amen? Amen. And even those who come to know the will of God in their lives, I mean Christians, all too often fail to follow through with the will of God in their lives. But claiming God all along, and yet fail to follow through with the will of God in their lives. How many want to walk in the will of God? Amen. I'm going to ask you again, how many of you want to walk in the will of God? Amen. Amen. Let's act like this is the last time we're going to have this place to ourselves. Amen. I want to hear you today. This is a very, very important topic. I can't tell you how many times I've counseled people, and the most important issue is that they have no clue what the will of God is in their lives. Or if it's given to them, if it's imparted to them, they're not really ready to accept God's will in their lives. And yet we claim that, you know, we've given ourselves away and He deserves it all and all that sort of stuff. And yet, do our lives reflect it is the question. So today we're going to try to help you in this area, all of us, because if you really want it, you should never have to be lost or frustrated or confused about this subject ever again. And I know you don't have to raise your hands on this. Most Christians, I don't mean most people, most Christians go into church Sunday after Sunday, could not tell you the purpose and the will of God in their lives, and have situations going on right now where they do not know what God really wants. They do not know what God is really doing. They don't know where God is really pushing. They do not know if they are in the center of the perfect will of God. And yet it should be our aim, amen? Amen. So I know that this is a need. God knows that this is a need. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Are you with me? So let's first start by stating a true but unfortunate fact. We say we want the will of God. We say we want to walk in the will of God. And yet, most of the time, we really are not seeking the will of God. We're not really seeking the will of God. We don't really want to know what God's true and perfect will is. What we usually are asking when we go there and we say we want the will of God, we're really trying to find out if God agrees with us. That's what's really going on. Does He agree with us? What we really want to know, what we really are praying about is whether or not He's going to give us what it is that we want. We really want to know if our circumstances and our situation are going to go a certain way. We're not asking for the will of God, a sovereign God, the creator of all things, that knew you before you were knowable, who had a plan for you before you came out of the womb? We don't go to God asking, in most cases now, asking, what is your will? How does the Lord's Prayer go? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What's next? Thy will be done. Thy will. Not my will. Thy will. But what do we take to the prayer closet? Our will. I just want to know if you agree with me, Lord. I just want to touch and agree. I just want to know if you agree with me. I just want to know if, am I going to get what I want? I just want to know, is it going to turn out the way I want it to? That's the unfortunate truth that we need to face as we talk about this issue of God's will, knowing it and walking into it. I know we don't have that many people here today, but there couldn't be a more important sermon for folks who are already saved. All of you all have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Am I right? Including the little ones? So that box is checked off. So there couldn't be a more important subject to talk to you about than knowing and walking in God's will. You tell me, if as a Christian already saved, is there anything more important? Is there anything more important? What's the point? Once you know you've got eternity sewn up, now there's nothing left but here and now, right? And so how could you operate with anything more important than knowing God's will and being able to walk in it? And yet, when we get together as Christians in an assembly, we're usually talking about something else. And we're usually talking about it without actually knowing God's will. Without actually being able to, having the courage to walk in his will, even once we know it. How often do we know what God wants, the creator of the universe, and tell him to talk to the hand? How often do we know the will of God and say, no, not now? How often do we know the will of God and act like we don't know and feign confusion? With God's voice on one side and your voice on the other, don't blame the devil. Your voice speaking for your flesh. That's the truth. Our voice speaking for our flesh. Amen? So we're just looking for God to agree with us. We want the outcome that we want. But that does not lead to a life that is led by God. That does not lead to a life full of clarity and direction and purpose. Do you want clarity? Do you want direction? Do you want purpose? What are you willing to do to have it? All right, then the word is going to speak to us today, amen? It's my hope to give you that today, amen. Now, our main text will be found in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, as a matter of fact, in verse 2. But by way of context, which is very important, we will also be covering chapter 11, verse 33, through chapter 12, verse 1. So our main principal text will be Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And the context, for context purposes, by very, very necessarily so, we will cover chapter 11, verses 33 through chapter 12, verse 1. Now you'll find that this section of scripture will be somewhat familiar to you, even though it was not our text. I spoke to you a few weeks ago about how we covered a good chunk of this at the nursing home, and it was very powerful. In order to be in tune with God and his will, you've got to see God in the proper light. If God is just your friend, you're not going to know his will, no matter how much you hang out with him on the street corners of your life. If you cannot see God for who he really is, then you're not going to hear his voice when he calls. If you don't know God for who he really is, when he calls, you won't hear him because he's being drowned out by the sound of your flesh. you won't hear him because he's being drowned out by the sounds of all of your life circumstances that are weighing you down, clogging you up, bogging you down. So you won't hear him. You won't see his solutions. You won't see his signs because of the blaring light, the glaring light of all of your worries that you choose to hold on to, despite the scripture that the sister talked about today. You are still careful for many things. And even though you take your prayer and supplication to God, you don't want his will when you go. So you can't walk away with the peace that passes all understanding, because he ain't going to guarantee you that he going to follow you. So you're not going to come away with peace like that, because he's not following you like that. You can't come away with the peace that passes all understanding unless you really mean thy will be done. And if you keep reading in that chapter 4 of Philippians, you'll see that Paul says, I've learned that in whatever situation I'm in, therewith to be content. Now you can have peace. Whatever situation, because I can do all things through Christ. I can be up, I can be down, I can be full, I can be hungry, I can be winning, I can look like I'm losing. I can do all that through Christ, which strengthens me. That's the kind of resolve. That's what you need in order to walk in the will of God. Because newsflash, whatever his will is, it's probably the opposite of what your flesh thinks. Whatever his will is, it's the thing you don't want to do. And yet in church, you know how we roll. If it looks good to me, that's what God really wants. If it feels right. If the circumstances line up, that's what God really wants. That's a little G God. I'm trying with everything I have today to try to introduce you to a life and a walk with the capital G God. Amen? Amen. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to break some chains. We're trying to get God, who's trying to pierce your life, from not having to compete with so many other things. But remember when we talked about confusion's cousins, for those of you who have been here long enough, we let those things in the door. They knock, oh, but we let them in. And we make a table, place at the table for them, and we clean up and set up a room for them. We welcome them and we entertain them because they are consistent with how we want to live and see ourselves. That's the truth. I don't think I've mentioned the devil yet, have I? Because he don't have to work that hard. The devil could go on a prolonged sabbatical and we'd be in just as much trouble. Because he's already laid the groundwork. All he has to do is wind us up and we will just keep going. He doesn't need to intervene. Amen? Amen. How many of our problems came out of the blue versus how many of our problems did we cause? Think about it. Think about it. So, yes, Satan's busy, but he's dealing with the folks that are not creating their own problems, trying to discourage them while they do what God's told them to do, trying to create circumstances and catch them on a weak day where they look at what it looks like and want to get discouraged. He's messing with them. He's not messing with those of us who are willing to delude ourselves into thinking that whatever our flesh thinks, that's what God will go along with. And that's how we can figure out what God's will is. Are you listening to me? Amen. So let's go to the word. That is Romans chapter 11. And we're going to start with verse 33. And yes, this may seem a little bit like review for those of you who were here when we touched on this a little bit, but we're going to take our time and maybe go just a little deeper. So let's look at verse 33. Remember what I told you. In order to really know God's will and walk in his will, you must see God in what? Proper light. You must see God for who he what? Really is. If you don't want his voice to be drowned out by your mess, if you don't want his light and his signs to be have so much glare that you can't see it, because all of your stuff is in the way. Why? Because word is not enough. Not even God is enough. When we're competing with this stuff that we let into our lives and entertain it and even enjoy it over God. So when we raise our hands and we say we want God's will, and when we raise our hands and we say we want to walk in his will, I know the truth that there's stuff bogging us down. God knows the truth that there's stuff bogging us down. Chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. Man, I want to finish early, but I'm just going to do everything I'm supposed to do, and then we'll go about our way. I'm going to read that again now. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of what? Uh-huh. And what else? Of who? All right. So, oh, the depths, meaning, just so deep you can never hit the bottom, right? So you have a God who we said we want his will, right? We said we want to walk in his will, and you can't even find the bottom of his wisdom and his knowledge, right? Right? Okay, so when we get on our knees, do we go with questions or do we go with requests? Do we go with questions or do we go with demands, standing on the word? That somebody taught you some time ago that somehow God was your porter, somehow God was your waiter, somehow God was your, gopher. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. You've got the God that knows everything. Why would you not go to somebody like that? Because you don't want to know what they have to say. You don't really want to know. Mm-mm. You don't want to know because you don't want to do it. Oh, the depths. He goes on to say, how unsearchable are his judgments? How unsearchable are his decisions? How unsearchable? And his ways past finding out. Now, this does not mean that you can't know God's will. What it does mean, however, you will never be able to pin God down to some algorithm or formula. If this, then that. That's Excel programming. That's not God. That's computer programming. That's not God. If he walks up and he's a hunk and he has green eyes and he happens to believe in God and he's Baptist just like me, he must be the one. If there's two jobs and one pays better and it seems more secure, that must be the one that God wants for me. No, you can't pin God down like that. Whatever your flesh wants to do, run from it. I know you don't have this thing down just like you should have it, all of us. But I can tell you this much. If you want to be right most of the time, bet on anything that your flesh does not want to do. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, whatever your flesh wants to do, God's will is likely the opposite. Is there any wonder why we don't follow through on what God wants to do? Because our flesh goes against it. So you will never pin God down to a formula. You will never pin him down to some algorithm. Amen? Amen. So it says how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways. It doesn't mean they can't be found out. But you should not try to predict God and his ways and his will. Amen? You should not try to predict or expect him to match things up with your worldly logic. If you walk with God for real, which means you're constantly doing hard things. You're constantly going against your flesh. You're constantly going against the grain. That's the life. You want to live that? Are you down with that? Are you with me? Amen. Not behind me. I don't want you behind me because I don't want to have to look back and wonder where you are. I need you with me, arm in arm. Amen? Amen. So let's look at verses 34 and 35. He goes on to say, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor?" 35. "Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again." Reminder, sometime soon we're going to cover that scripture that says, "Oh, no man," by the way, because it doesn't mean what people say. Man, that's just a little. I'm just planting a seed. "Oh, no man." We're going to find out what it really means and going to blow your mind. And then we're going to go out and be better. How about that? Amen. Hold me to it. So when I don't preach, say, "Pastor, when are you going to preach that one?" Okay? So who has known the mind of God? Who has been his counselor? Who has first given to him and then expected it to be given back? Right? If you don't know with crystal clarity the origins of everything that you have, you can't really walk in the will of God. If you don't know with crystal clarity the origins. But we have issues. It's difficult. Who wants to help me with a demonstration? Brother Melvin. I need one other volunteer. Okay, you can stay where you are. Brother Melvin, come on up here. I'm going to give you something. That's a $20 bill. You can go sit down. Thank you, sir. So now, who gave you that?
God gave it to
me. All right. For this example, I gave it to you. Oh, okay. I'm standing in for God because this is a demonstration. It's a demonstration. Yes. You know what I mean? I mean, God used demonstrations all the time, didn't he? All right. Okay. So I gave that to you. Okay. So Sister LaQuisha, I'm going to give you something. Okay, I want you to give that to Brother Mel. So, Deacon, who gave it to you?
You did.
Amen. Uh-huh. I did. Now, God has an endless supply of 20s, but I don't. So we're not going to keep doing this, but how much of that you want to give me back? All right, he gave me all of it back. Was that hard? Wasn't hard. We picked the wrong volunteer. Amen. Amen. Now, in reality, your paycheck, who do you get it from? Mm-hmm. So forget the paycheck. The money in the bank that comes from the paycheck, that comes from the account of the company, okay, where do you get it from? It comes from God, right? It is a lot easier immediately when you first get the job to recognize God. When you first get the money, the big check that you didn't expect, to recognize God. Now, if I were to do this same thing over and over and over again over time, and eventually, you know, why even give her the money? Why don't I just go in my account and have it automatically deposited? At some point, you will stop recognizing who gave it to you. At some point, you'll stop recognizing the origin. At some point, the connection is not so strong. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
The point is, all things that you get come from God.
Yes.
This is all about, if you want to know and walk in his will, you've got to see him for what he is and who he really is. And that includes knowing, if you knew everything that you get comes from God, it would be a lot easier to do what God tells you to do. The reason you don't do what he tells you to do is because you don't see him as your source. You don't see him as this all-knowing God we just talked about. You don't see that. You can't. It's not possible. Because if you saw him like that, there's no way you could say no. If you saw him like that, there's no way you could act out of
fear. How often do we act out of fear?
There's no way. And so trying to see God for who he really is, see him for how he really is, understand who has first given to God, and then God's supposed to give it back to you. I gave you those 20s, right? You didn't give them to me. I gave them to you. So we should be clear on who's the giver and who's the recipient. But it can we can really get it twisted. And we can start expecting God to do things for us because we think we've done him a favor. We think we've done him a favor. Now, we think we've done him a favor because we give back less than 10%. Yay! Or we give him 10%. Yay! Done you a favor, God. Excuse me? You just gave me all of it back, right? Because you got it from me. So if you give me anything less than all of it, then why is that? Well, because we have lives to live. I understand that. But how many decisions do we make that makes it impossible or less possible for us to give a measly 10%? What decisions do we make? I'm not talking about the world doing anything to us. I'm still not talking about the devil. What do you decide is so important? What's so important? Really, seriously, we're talking some straight talk here. What is so important? Is it your ego? Who are you trying to impress? What thing that's going to melt away, waste? What is so important that you let it own you? So then you can't make good decisions. And even if your heart wants to give more to God, you already hamstrung yourself, but you blame the chains on somebody else. You're the one that did it, and you threw away the key. Are we learning anything?
Amen.
I'm trying to take my time as much as I can. Because one of the most important things that we could ever teach you in life, as in Christendom, is how to know and walk in the will of God. What's the point otherwise? And we all said we want to know and we want to do. Verse 36. For of him, are you with me? Of him and through him, and what? Are all things. If you can get over these hurdles that we've just jumped over, you're on your way. But if you can't, you're in trouble. Of him, meaning what? From him. So all things come from him, right? You got that. Are we good with that? Are we in agreement? Through him, meaning all things are accomplished by his grace and power. So all things come from him. And everything you do comes because of his grace and his power, right? And then to him, meaning for his glory. If you can embrace that, if you can believe that, all things are of him. All things are through him. And all things are to him. Tell me that thing that's weighing you down. How does it match up with that? That thing that's preoccupying your time, your energy, your money. How does it match up with all things are of him and through him and to him? Tell me, why is it worth holding on to? Why? Does it have a grip on you if all things are of God and through God and to God? Why? We're talking about knowing God's will and walking in his will. But it takes a strong word to cover this topic. Can't give you just some flowery little thing, you know, with pixie dust on it. Because that won't work. It hasn't worked. It never will work. Are you with me? So if you have this down, if you understand that all things are of God and through God and to God, then you're over a whole bunch of hurdles. Yet if you do not have this, if you can't see God like this, if you cannot embrace this fully, then you may as well not pass go. Don't even think about collecting $200. Pointless. If you can't see God like this, I said we're talking about God's will. I said we're talking about walking in his will. You can't even go there if you can't see God like that. Now, we try to, and we go through, and we try to claim we know his will, and we make it up, and nobody can prove we're wrong, and then we hit a big old Mack truck, and then we blame circumstances, we blame anybody but ourselves. But we went into that with a little G God, and you know it. You know it! We went into it with your flesh, your desires, your plans, your preferences, your comfort zone, your ego, your sense of self-worth or lack thereof. You took that into that situation. That's why you went awry. You didn't take the big G God with you. That's not who you were down there praying to. You were praying to a little G God that's supposed to do what you want him to do. That's supposed to make you happy. That's supposed to satisfy you. That's supposed to enable you. But the big G God is very available. He can be known. And he can be walked with. But he's not going to follow us. I hope you're with me. It's not easy, though. It's not easy. Let's go to verse 1 of chapter 12. We are almost to our key verse, and I won't have much time for it once we get there. Now, Sister Carmen mentioned this in her, among many other things, in her sermon prayer. Amen. It reads, I beseech you, therefore, remember that, remember this now, therefore means the topic, the statement didn't start here. It's a continuation, the chapter divisions and all the verses, they're really not quite arbitrary, but we made them up. So the therefore rides, everything we say now is riding off of those prior verses, right? You see God that way, if you can see him that way, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, let me tell you something now. There are times when a part of the sacrifice you got to keep. Remember when we learned about Samuel's mother? I think it was Hannah, right? Okay. Sometimes you get to keep part of the sacrifice and you get to go eat it for the celebration. We're talking about here a whole sacrifice. The sacrifice all gets burned. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Sacrifice. God gets all of you. God gets all of it, right? Now, if you understand him the way these other verses would have you to know him, now you can present your body as a living sacrifice. God ain't interested in you burning no animal. He ain't even interested in you burning yourself. But will you give yourself away? Will you give yourself away? Will you give yourself away? The answer, a resounding no, in almost every case. Will you give? I said a living sacrifice. That means you lay yourself on that wood, light the fire, and give yourself to God. So I know we're not doing it, so you just think in your mind, what's in the way? What? Who is in the way? What financial situation is in the way? What career situation is in the way? What ego's in the way? What substance is in the way? What person is in the way? What position is in the way? What reputational issue is in the way? What deep-seated, long-term hurt is in the way? Because we don't give ourselves away. But the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which what? Is holy and acceptable, which to God, that means pleasing to God, So by the way, that doesn't mean just give yourself away in any old way. Pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Now I just let myself be burned completely on the altar. And that's just my reasonable service? I don't get no big time kudos. I don't get, you know, $1 million salary. I don't get a Rolls Royce. I don't get a big old church full of folks bowing down to me and worshiping me. I don't get all that. Excuse me? No. It's your reasonable service. But you can do this if you really see God the way we just learned him. But because we don't, we ain't giving all of ourselves up to anybody, including God. So he will talk to the hand, just like with Jonah. He will talk to the hand. And yeah, like Carmen said in her prayer, yeah, he'll wait for you. Not endlessly, by the way. But we make him wait. How would you like that? Would you like it? So we don't give ourselves away. We talked some about why. But if you haven't given yourself away to God, you won't hear him, you won't feel him, and you won't see his signs very well. This is all, by the way, for those who really, actually want to know God's will and want to walk in his will. If you don't really want that, this will be nice. It'll go right over your head and you'll keep on going like you always have. But if you really want to walk in God's will, know his will and walk in it, then you want to hear him and you want to feel him and you want to see where he's pointing. You want to see the signs that come from him. But we don't mostly want that. We just want to know if he agrees. You've already made up your mind what's right. You've already made up your mind what career. You've already made up your mind how much money you ought to make, how it ought to come, how you should be seen, where you ought to live. You've made up your mind. One story, two story, big, small. You've already made up your mind. You don't go to God and say, what's right for me? What's consistent with your purpose? No, we do what we want to do. Then we say, God, you know what? I got myself backed into his corner, and now what I can offer you is shaped about like that, and it's about that big. That's what I got left. Now, maybe I'll give you most of that. Maybe. So we want to hear God, feel God, and we want to see God and his signs. And so now that we've digested all of that, and I think you are now with me, and I think you now understand that I might only be talking to some of us at this point. Now we can go to our key verse. And I have a few minutes to cover it. So now that we've been implored to give our bodies as a living sacrifice to this amazing God, we've agreed that he's amazing, and all things come from him, and all things come through him, and all things are to him. So it's really easy to just, hey, who couldn't give yourself away to that God, right? As long as that's the God we're talking about. And he goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Why? That ye may prove what is the good and acceptable, meaning well-pleasing, and perfect, meaning completely consummated, not halfway there, fully matured, will of God. Now, we've read this verse a million times, and we miss the will part. We just, whoa, I'm saved, metanoia, my life, my mind has changed. Look, you may have decided to accept his salvation, but most of our minds have not changed at that moment. We may have decided to accept Christ. It is a free gift. Who wouldn't? You're a fool not to. But you don't decide. Now the life that I get to live down here, I'm giving it away. We don't do that. We drag the same old stinking thinking right into salvation Sunday after Sunday. And it's true. And Monday through Saturday. Same old stinking thinking. Same old fear-based thinking. Same old arrogance. Same old selfishness. Come on now. Same old control freak mentality. You got the God of the universe, all things of him, through him, to him. Why are you still trying to control everything? Come on now, please help me understand it. Please explain it to me. Why? We got God, right? All creator, all that stuff. We just read it. Giving ourselves away. Yeah, right? On the, but we still trying to control stuff. Not just with other people, which is bad as it is. And sometimes proud of it, sadly. But we having a tug of war with God himself. You kidding me? You know best. Remember I told you, your flesh is about as far away from God's will as you could find. So you know what? When you think you know stuff and God tells you something else, his thing is so different from yours, you say he must be wrong. Come on now. It's so different from your idea, he must be wrong. He don't know what he's talking about because I researched it on the internet. Because I had a situation one time with one boyfriend, so I know it all now. Oh, I got friends that I talk to all the time, so their cumulative experiences tell me what I must do now. I know something now. Be not conformed to this world. How many of us are pretty much conforming to this world? Come on now, let's all raise our hand. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to explain to you why religion and our usual brand of faith fail miserably in this area of knowing and walking in God's will. Miserably! We're too melded into the world. We're trying to get what all the people in the world have. We just want religion on it. You know I'm telling the truth. I'll remind you again. What we most often teach and practice in church about faith is faith for things and faith for outcomes. Not faith in God. Faith for things. Faith for outcomes, not faith in God. When you have faith in God, you say, nevertheless, thy will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I know that you know my needs before I even ask, but just give me this day my daily bread. Forgive me as I forgive others. Lead me not into temptation. Don't let me do all the stuff my flesh would do. Drag me by the knees until I get holes in my pants, if that's what it takes to do the right thing. But we rather conform. The reason we'd rather conform is because we're in the flesh, and this flesh wants to conform. It wants to fit in to the world. That word conform means assuming a similar form by following the same pattern or mold. Assuming a similar form by following the same pattern or mold. How do you make your decisions about your finances any different from your unsaved friends? How do you make them any different? Your unsaved friends, they know you're saved. When you make a big decision, do they say, "Did you ask God?" When you make a decision, they say, "That's what God wanted you to do? God wants you to be with him, huh? Oh, really? Huh. Okay." So, we go by the same patterns. We make our decisions the same way. How do we decide which guy to be with? Same way the rest of them do. We talk to our friends and, you know, we measure it up against all that old messy relationships we had before. And as long as he's different from those, he's the one. Come on now, you know I'm telling the truth. And of course, if you're young, you measure it up against stuff that hormones dictate. And when you get older, you realize what's really important. And you're either stuck with a good one or stuck with a bad one because you got nothing in common. You don't love deeply. You only loved superficially in the first place. And that worked for a while when you're both just eye candy for each other and everything else that your flesh needed. Am I at least teaching? I feel like I'm preaching. I feel like I'm preaching. The sweat on top of me feels like I'm preaching, but I want to at least be teaching. Be not conformed. He's talking about the will, remember now. This verse 2 talks about the will of God. So be not conformed to this world, but what? Be ye transformed. He didn't say make a slight spiritual adjustment. He didn't say go to church on Sunday. He didn't say a few Hail Marys. He said be ye transformed. You shouldn't even be recognizable. Be ye transformed. If we go heavily into the Greek, we'll get into stuff that talks about being changed as a result of being with. I didn't choose to go that deep. Be ye transformed. Are we transformed? Are we transformed? Well, how do we get transformed? We're assuming this transformation is a good thing, right? Be ye transformed. Don't be conformed to this world, which you know we do, but be ye transformed. We're still talking about the will. By the renewing, how? Of your mind. So now we have the key. We know we need to be transformed, and now we know how. By the renewing of your mind. This is a drastic change. This is not merely an adjustment. Now, this renewal, it's not like renewing your registration. It's not like renewing a membership. When you renew a membership, your membership is the same as it all started out as. This is not like polishing off something to get rid of the tarnish. Because when you do that, you end up with what you started with. This word renewal doesn't mean that. It means entirely new. You need to have an entirely different way of thinking. An adjustment on your stinking thinking won't do. Making it sound good and flowery and make it sound all spiritual and religious won't do. You need to be thinking completely differently, entirely differently. Can you do that? When was the last time you let go enough to really think completely differently? Somebody hurt me, so I'm supposed to be hurt, right? I'm supposed to be broken up. I'm human, right? Well, what if you decided to think completely differently? What if you decided to agree with God that he's in control and he knew that was going to happen and he plans to use that to edify you and others and not destroy you? What if you spent your time on that? Now, all of a sudden, I'm thinking completely differently. But he says you need to be transformed by having an entirely different way of thinking. Not an adjustment. Not just putting a top coat on it. It's a brand new way of thinking, a brand new way of judging things. You might say you think a little bit differently, but when you look at the final products, you still judge the same way. I'm grateful to the sister who, you know, Carmen, who did the early prayer and said her thinking has changed, and that's good. That's great. That's fantastic. But we need a brand new way of determining success. Stop it now. All up in the church, and you still judging success based on, I don't want to go through the list. Because you know I've said it too many times. You still judging success based on what your boss thinks of you and not what God thinks of you. You still judging success based on some person way back in your life that you're still trying to please and get them to think you're great. You're still judging success the same way. What if I judge success after 4.5 years, somebody who speaks to thousands based on the size of our church? What if I judge success like that? This isn't me faking it. This isn't me trying to put some salve on the wound. This is me thinking completely differently. I judge success based on that God we just learned about and what he thinks. The end of this verse says, renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, meaning well-pleasing and perfect will of God. When you start thinking completely differently, that's what you guide yourself against. That's what you measure yourself against. But when you don't, you will conform. Let me just tell you, you ain't that tough, baby. Because you in it, but you ain't supposed to be of it, but you're way more in it. Way more in it. And you're all around people every day that are in it. And even the Christians that you're with are in it. So you're going to be of it. Unless you be completely transformed, a slight adjustment on the dial won't do. It won't do. Whew. I'm almost there. And we're going to have time to break all this stuff down and get out of here. Are you with me? Amen. Brother Marcellus said, old things are passed away. And your way of thinking has to pass away. And your way of thinking needs to be brand new. New, I'm almost, new as in innovative. I'm trying to make sure you leave here with no questions in your mind. New, not as in new versus old. New as in innovative. New as in the people before Morse code can't understand how you can put on Google glasses and have the internet in the poverty, or even understand what an internet is. New as in blow your mind new. My wife and I was watching, she was watching me watch a science program last night, because there was a guy at UCLA that back in, I think it was the 60s or 70s, where he figured out that if you send a body, if you send a ship or probe, if you send it towards a planet, you can use the planet's gravity to go around it and slingshot your way to another planet. Never using not one jet propulsion at all. The jet to get it up into space is all you need. And then you go by planets and you use their gravity. As long as you don't crash on the planet, you use all that gravitational pull, just like you do in golf, to propel it. And never use one iota of fuel. And you get to the next planet, and we actually investigated. The Voyager probe investigated our whole solar system, every planet, that way. Thinking completely differently. If we were trying to figure out how can we have enough fuel, the thing would get to be so big that it wouldn't work. So how could somebody thought completely? See, do you understand what I mean by thinking completely differently? You have to think of options that you wouldn't naturally think of. You have to not put God in a box. I am got to be done in a minute, right? You've got to have a new way of thinking that's without the limitations of your past. You've got to let go of worldly values. You've got to let go of your fear based thinking. You've got to let God decide what is best. Can we do that? I know we don't. You got to let God decide what's best. That means trusting him no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. And you know we're responding all day long on what it looks like and feels like. You know that's what we do. You can't trust God doing that. It's not possible. You're going to trust you. You're going to trust the best you can come up with, the smartest person you can find that agrees with you now. You're not going to trust the smartest people you can find that don't agree with you. I don't care how smart they are. You're going to go with the one that agrees with you. You're going to go with the one that justifies what you already want to do all day long. Please don't lie to ourselves. The shortest distance from where you are and where you want to be is what? The shortest distance from where you are and where you need to be is what? Okay, so that's why we're dealing in truth. I get all passionate about it. Don't take it personal unless it is. So understand that our nature, our natural minds want control. Our natural minds want certainty. Our natural minds want comfort. Our natural minds want familiarity, and our natural minds want things to be clear, black or white. But with this new mind, you have to trust rather than seek control. When things don't seem so certain, when things are very uncomfortable, and even gray. But we're talking about having a new mind, right? We're talking about not conforming to this world, but being completely transformed by having a completely different way of thinking. And so the key to knowing God's will and walking in his will is being completely open and submitting to his will. You have to have a completely changed mind to be open to whatever God wants, wherever he wants it, however he wants it. That's a tough walk.